time for the Bay Area's favorite quiz show, Minds Over Matter, with moderator Dana Rodriguez. He's joined by music critic Joshua Cosman and technical editor Kara Pace.
It ain't day, it's night. If you ain't sure, you might. It's gotta be this or that.
And it's gotta be our host, Dana Rodriguez.
Thank you very much, and welcome everybody to Minds Over Matter. Hope you're having a lovely weekend, and we also hope you can spare us an hour of your very valuable time tonight, because Minds Over Matter is an audience participation quiz program. So, of course, that's what we're looking for, your participation. We do hope you will call and join us on air. Those two numbers are area code 415-841-4134. Again, with a question or answer, 415-841-4134. Or toll free. Yes, we have a toll free number, 866-798-8255. Again, that is 866-798-8255. We'll be covering just about every subject, really, when you get right down to it. And we want you to join us. So please make those numbers happen, 415-841-4134 or toll free 866-798-8255. Just to remind you of our email address, which is mindsovermatter1@gmail.com. Again, that is MINDSOVERMATTER1. That is the numeral one. So again, that's mindsovermatter1@gmail.com. We generally don't read them on air, but they all get read, so it's great to hear from you. So please feel free to email us anytime. We're all coming to you through the courtesy of Zoom tonight, so who knows, one of your emails might pop up in front of me. And if you'd like to hear us in the live stream, all you have to do is go to kalw.org, and that's right there. And of course, if you'd like to hear the podcast after the show, and for those of you who are still sticking to the 7 o'clock time, of course, that will be should be available, thanks to Damien, at 7 p.m. tonight at kalw.org. Okay, all that being said, we're going to start with a round of introductions. First, I want to say hello to our panelists. That would be Kara Pace and Josh Cosman. Hi.
Hi. Right.
And we will start with the introduction I just lost on my phone. it'll come right back to me in 1 second. And here it is. Okay, Kara Pace, for one, welcome to 0.01 inches of rain this week.
That's 0.01 inches more than we're used to. So,
well, I'm sure it's always a little mistier in Pacifica than it is.
It's true. It is. It's always very moist here. It's a moist city. All right. I'll make a reckless prediction. Joshua Cosman will still be in the kitchen when the lights come on. Ha! They might be Cosmans.
There we go. Well caught. Thank you. Our moderator, Dana Rodriguez, would like to state that, yes, we have no banana questions today.
All right. Thank you. Thanks for the thumbs up on that, Josh. we will start with Kara Pace.
Do my long question now. I'm going to give you a short description of food items that are named for people. I want you to tell me the name of the item. There will be no tetrazzinis today. There will be no peach melbas. These will be different items. So here we go. The first is a triple cream cheese named for a famous gastronome and author of The Psychology of Taste. A triple cream cheese named for a famous gastronome and the author of Psychology of Taste. Number two is a restorative egg dish named by the maitre d' of the Waldorf Hotel for a hungover stockbroker. Again, a restorative egg dish named by the maitre d' of the Waldorf Hotel for a hungover stockbroker. Number three is a cocktail invented in the 1960s by Walter Chell, the bartender of Alberta's Calgary Inn, and named in honor of his own Italian ancestry. Again, it's a cocktail invented in the 1960s by Walter Chell of Alberta's Calgary Inn, named in honor of his own Italian ancestry. Number four, a Vermont-produced ice cream flavor named for a musician who died in 1995. Again, that's a Vermont-produced ice cream flavor named for a musician who died in 1995. Next is a coconut and pecan custard-filled chocolate cake named for an English-American chocolate factory worker. A coconut and pecan custard-filled chocolate cake named for an English-American factory worker. Number six is a salad of diced vegetables and meat dressed in mayonnaise and named for the head chef of the Hermitage restaurant in Moscow. A salad of diced vegetables and meat dressed in mayonnaise and named for its inventor, who is the head chef of the Hermitage restaurant in Moscow. And the last one is a blend of ground beef and gravy named for the U.S. health food advocate who created it for his patients to eat three times a day in lieu of poisonous vegetables and starches. So again, that's a blend of ground beef and gravy. Named by the U.S. health food advocate who created it for his patients to eat three times a day in lieu of poisonous vegetable and starches. Got any of them?
I have an easy one and a hard, what may be a harder one, but go ahead, Josh.
I got the easy one too. The ice cream, that's Cherry Garcia.
Right.
It is. That's true. Cherry Garcia, named for Jerry Garcia.
And the one I was going to, I'm just taking a flyer on this about the Italianate cocktail. I wonder if that's a Bellini.
It is not.
Okay. Oh, that's a good guess. I like that.
Yeah.
I will add that Bellinis are delicious.
Okay.
And I do not feel the same way about this one, the cocktail in question.
Hmm. Well, I think I know this because I've read this book or at some point in my life. It may have been when I was in college. The Psychology of Taste or the Physiology of Taste.
Yeah. Psychology.
Is psychology? Okay.
It is psychology.
Physiology. Yeah. All right. Okay. And that's the fellow's name is Brillant Savarin.
Brillant Savarin. Yeah.
All right. Okay.
The most delicious cheese of all, Brillant Savarin. She's named for gastronome and lawyer Brillant Savarin. Jean-Anselme Brillant Savarin. And I apologize to everybody listening who knows that my French is atrocious.
Well, it's no worse than mine, so don't worry about it. If you can quickly go through the ones that are left, because I don't know if I can do much else.
Before you do, I want to just ask about the restorative egg dish. Is that just Egg Benedict?
It is, named for Lemuel Benedict, who was drunk that day.
Oh, good. Yeah.
All right.
That's so all the four I have left. A cocktail invented in the 1960s by Walter Chell, the bartender of Alberta's Calgary Inn, and named in honor of his own Italian ancestry. Next is a coconut and pecan custard-filled chocolate cake named for an English-American chocolate factory worker. The next is a salad of diced vegetables and meat dressed in mayonnaise named for its inventor, the head chef of the Hermitage restaurant in Moscow. And finally, a blend of ground beef and gravy named for the U.S. health food advocate who created it for his patients to eat three times a day in lieu of poisonous vegetables and starches.
All right. And Josh, you go ahead.
Okay. Well, I also queued up my long question first, so I apologize for being long-winded, but it is a movie question. This is a question about movie remakes, famous movies that have been made twice with different casts. I'm going to give you a pair of actors and who played corresponding roles in the two movies, and you tell me the name of the film. All right. So
may I just
ask, go ahead, please.
Will it be the same name each time?
It is the same name. Yeah, we're not getting too abstruse. These are straight up remakes of famous films. So I'll give you the two actors, one who played in the earlier one and one who played in the later one, and you tell me the name of the movie. I have 3, 4, 5, 8 of these. So first one is Kevin McCarthy and Donald Sutherland. Faye Dunaway and Renee Russo, Polly Bergen and Jessica Lange, Glenn Ford and Russell Crowe, Spencer Tracy and Steve Martin, Mia Farrow and Kerry Mulligan, Michael Caine and Mark Wahlberg, and finally Angela Lansbury and Meryl Streep. So again, these are, when I say remakes, these are often in fact, you know, two different movies made from the same source material. You will have spotted that as we went through. But again, the pairs of actors are Kevin McCarthy and Donald Sutherland, Faye Dunaway and Renee Russo, Polly Bergen and Jessica Lange, Glenn Ford and Russell Crowe, Spencer Tracy and Steve Martin, Mia Farrow and Kerry Mulligan, Michael Caine and Mark Wahlberg, Angela Lansbury and Meryl Streep.
Well, Glenn Ford and Russell Crowe, isn't that 310 to Yuma?
It sure is. That's what inspired the question, because we watched the two of them back to back at home the other day.
Okay. And
I want to do one for you because I have so few.
All right, go ahead.
Can I do Spencer Tracy and Steve Martin, which I think is Father of the Bride?
Yeah.
Okay. I only have one other, so I'll be quiet now.
That's all right. Kevin McCarthy and Donald Sutherland, that's Invasion of the Body Snatchers.
It certainly is.
Oh, yeah.
Go ahead. Kira, you want one more?
Sure. I'll take the low-hanging fruit of Michael Caine and Mark Wahlberg, which is, I believe, The Italian Job.
That is correct. Okay. All right. Good. So leaving out for listeners the pairs of Faye Dunaway and Renee Russo, Polly Bergen and Jessica Lange, Mia Farrow and Kerry Mulligan, and Angela Lansbury and Meryl Streep. If you know
all
those.
Right.
Okay.
And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, how about Faye Ray and Jessica Lange? It's obvious, right?
Yes, well done.
Okay. You know, you triggered me. You mentioned the Hermitage, the one in Moscow, was it? Or
yep.
St. Petersburg?
St. Petersburg, I think.
I just learned something today about the Hermitage. What is the Hermitage in Tennessee?
Hmm. Oh, yeah, it's...
That's Andrew Jackson's house.
Yeah.
Yes, his plantation.
Yes.
I just learned that today. Got to pass it on quickly. Okay, what's the difference between hemoglobin and myoglobin?
Is it just the color? I mean...
Myo means it's in the marrow.
Not really. Well, you know what hemoglobin means? Going with the root.
Yeah,
hemo's
the blood.
Blood, and so what's myoglobin?
Aren't those bone marrow stem cells or something like that?
No, it's not.
All right, I'll leave.
I don't think myoglobin's a blood. That's not blood related, is it? That's a protein or something, isn't it?
It's iron stored in the blood is hemoglobin.
Oh, it is. So okay.
Myoglobin is iron stored in the, or oxygen stored in what?
Oh, as in myocardium. Oh, so with the heart.
Not just the heart. That may be related, though. You need that prefix.
Myo. It was worth a guess. That's what it
was. Yeah. I think they're going to revoke our medical licenses.
Well, the fascinating thing is this new information, because this is the answer to the question of, like, how come a sperm whale, they can take a, you know, they can breathe and go under for like an hour and a half under the water, and they can return. It only takes 15 minutes for them to breathe again, and then they can go down for an hour and a half. And the answer is myoglobin.
All right. Interesting. And where is it stored? And wait, we didn't get an answer. Where is it actually stored?
It's in the muscle. That they're storing the oxygen in the muscle, not in the lungs. It's not being stored in the blood. It's being stored in the muscle.
Yeah, but the heart is a muscle, so I was partially right.
Partially. It's all about figuring out the roots and the connection. Okay, one last question. So what's the difference between... Or because we can refer back to the Hermitage. Is it historic or historical?
I'm sorry, I didn't get your question. What was the question?
Is the Hermitage historic or historical? What's the difference between historic and historical? It's a realization. It's like, what's the difference between music and musical? It's just a linguistic question.
All right, Josh.
I don't know. Music is a noun and musical is an adjective, unless it's referring to carousel.
This is my own take on it. Like a wind chime. Is that music or musical?
I don't know. You sound like you have your own private definition. So share it with us, because I don't know.
Good. Let me share it with the world.
Okay.
Historical, historical monument. Okay, look, your friend who's from usually likes Egypt, the obelisk, the Washington Monument is, I would say, historical, but the actual ones in Egypt are historic. One is the real thing, and one is a reference to it. Does that kind of make sense? Historical?
I would run that by Merriam-Webster and see if they bite.
That's what I would say. That the wind chimes isn't really music. It's not organized by a composer. It's musical, as if music. It's kind of musical. The bird chirping is musical, but it's not really music. It's not composed.
Well, depends on who you ask.
I think the word you're looking there is music-esque.
Yes.
I like that better.
All right. Thank you.
Okay, take it easy.
All right, bye-bye. And okay, let me do a couple questions here. All right. What is the largest city in the United States with the shortest name? What is the largest city in the United States with the shortest name?
Shorter than Dallas?
Yes.
Is this a well-defined thing? You're looking for a min-max here. That's
exactly. What is the largest city in the U.S. with the shortest name? The city, I will tell you what the population is, which is roughly over 500,000.
That doesn't help.
Yeah, that's why I told you.
Is it Flint, Michigan?
That's a decent guess. Maybe at one point you might have been right, but no, not right now.
Yeah. Because I went there because I think that's the largest one with a monosyllabic name. But are we looking for shorter or bigger than Flint?
I would say both.
Oh, dang. Huh. All right. I don't want to take up too much dead air with
all
this.
All right. Kieran, do you have a guess?
I want to chew on this.
No, mine was Dallas because it has so many people, but I guess it's got six letters and in the math, it doesn't work out.
No. Somehow. So once more, what is the largest city in the United States with the shortest name? All right. Try to work that out. Yeah. Second question. What is the, now one guess each on this, please. What is the northernmost country that is still completely in the southern hemisphere?
Oh. Is it South Africa?
Nope.
Oh, no, not northern. I'm sorry. I'm thinking biggest, not.
Okay. Once more, what is the northernmost country that is still completely in the southern hemisphere?
I want to say Indonesia.
That would be, I think that's second or third. It's not number one anyway.
All right.
I'm sorry, can I take one more guess? Because I was answering the wrong question.
Do it.
Yes, go ahead.
Is it Uruguay?
It is not.
Okay.
So once more, what is the northernmost country in the world that is still completely in the southern hemisphere? Okay, I'm just going to give you my long question now, because if I wait till the next go around, then that'll be it. I'll never get a chance to do it. So what I'm going to do is give you, is the, name me the country from the highest point in the country. So I'm going to give you what is basically the highest mountain or the highest point in the country. And I want you to tell me what country it is. Okay.
Sure.
Number one, Pico Bolivar. Number two, Ben Nevis. Number three, Mount Apo. That's APO. Number four, Mount Stanley. Number five, Mount Catherine.
A C or a K?
That's a C.
Okay.
Number six, Mount Cook. And number seven is Grauspitz.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, again, I want you to tell me the country from the highest point in it. It could be a mountain, could be a place, whatever. But tell me the country. Number one, Pico Bolivar. Number two, Ben Nevis. Number three, Mount Apo. Number four, Mount Stanley. Number five, Mount Catherine. Number six, Mount Cook. Number seven, Grauspitz. Okay, I'll give you each, one or two guesses.
All right. This is a Kira question, and I only have one answer. So
not a Kira question.
But oh, you've been to all these places. Come on.
I've been to like none of these places. Right. But go ahead, please.
If you don't mind, I'm going to take the low-hanging high point, which is Ben Nevis, which is feebly the tallest mountain in the United Kingdom.
That is correct.
I forget where it is. It's in Scotland, I think.
Yeah.
I just have guesses. So,
all right,
let's go with I don't want to go with that one. Okay, what about New Zealand Mount Cook?
You're right.
Good
job.
Is Grauspitz in Austria?
It is not.
Okay. I was going to guess Switzerland for that one.
It is not.
Okay.
So once more, let me just quickly go through this. What is the largest city in the U.S. with the shortest name? There is 500,000 population in this city. What is the northernmost country that is still completely in the southern hemisphere? And name the country from the highest point in that country. The ones we have left are Pico Bolivar, Mount Apo, Mount Stanley, Mount Catherine, and Grauspitz.
For the shortest name, what about Miami?
No. Ooh. That's a good guess.
Which one am I off on? Which side?
All
just
of the
so above. Listeners know if they should be looking for something.
No,
fewer
I
than
no,
five
Miami,
letters
this
long.
Is Miami's obviously bigger than this city, but the one I'm looking for, but the name is shorter.
Okay, so listeners, four letters or less.
Right.
And by less, I mean fewer.
And the two numbers to join us are area code 415-841-4134. Or toll-free 866-798-8255. Let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Peter and Bernal.
Hi, Peter.
For short, big cities, how about either Troy, New York, or Rome, Georgia?
Both very good guesses, but no.
And for big countries south of the border, how about Tanzania?
Say that again?
Tanzania.
No, not Tanzania.
Okay. I am afraid I have some more frightfully fractured frickers for you, if you are game.
All right.
And I'll review the rules. We're looking for the names of three films. The last word in the first film's name is the first word in the second film's name. And the last word in the second film's name is the first word in the third film's name.
No documentaries.
No documentaries. My motto.
All right.
And I'm conveniently ignoring the words the and a and stuff like that.
Okay.
It's more fun that way. Okay, the first one is a film from 1963 directed by James Poe. The second is a 1989 film directed by Phil Alden Robinson. And the third is a 1984 film directed by Joseph Rubin.
The last one I may get, is that The Stepfather by any chance?
No.
Okay.
Ooh, good guess, though. I've never heard of any of these.
He films. Did direct The Stepfather, Joseph Rubin. All right.
I can give you actors. If you like.
Okay, go ahead.
On the third one, Dennis Quaid, Kate Capshaw, Max von Sydow, and Christopher Plummer.
Dennis Quaid, Kate Capshaw.
Second one, Kevin Costner, Burt Lancaster, Ray Liotta, James Earl Jones.
Well, that's the Field of Dreams, yeah.
Yes.
Oh,
Field of Dreamscape. Dreamscape is the last one, isn't it?
Yes. Uh-huh.
Okay. So the first one.
Field.
63, James Poe, starring Sidney Poitier.
Lilies of the Field.
Lilies of the Field.
Lilies of the Field of Dreamscape.
Yeah. Dreamscape, sorry. Okay.
The next three. First one is directed, it's released in 1933 and directed by William Sider. Second one is 1929 by Roy Del Ruth. I should remark that it has been remade twice, once in 1943 and 1953. And third film came out in 1943, directed by Henry King.
Well, the one in the middle is Desert Song, isn't it?
Yes.
And the first one, Sons of the Desert.
Song of Bernadette.
Good.
Okay, good.
All right. Okay, the next triplet is 1936 by William Cameron, 1963 Bud Yorkin, and 1945 Raoul Walsh.
Is the last one The Horn Blows at Midnight?
It is.
Okay.
How about Come Blow Your Horn for the second one?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, good.
You're doing well.
And how about The Harder They Come with Jimmy Cliff for the first one?
Not in 1936.
No. Come on. I don't know.
All right, the 1936, give me somebody in that way, please.
Raymond Massey.
I'm sorry, who?
Raymond Massey.
Oh, Things to Come, right?
Yes. Yep.
All right. So it's Things to Come.
Things to Come, Blow Your Horn of Plenty.
No.
Horn of, what was the last one?
Horn Blows at Midnight.
Oh. Yes. Things, so you got two blows in there.
All right.
Okay.
All right. I better stop you there because we should take some other calls too.
Okay.
Thank you.
Sounds good.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you
good
very
job.
Much. All right. And you're listening to Minds Over Matter. We're here every Sunday at 5 p.m. Hope you're enjoying the show. We certainly want you to give us a call if you so desire. Those two numbers are area code 415-841-4134 or toll free 866-798-8255. Our panel tonight, that would be Kira Pace, technical editor Joshua Cosman, music critic for the San Francisco Chronicle. I'm your moderator, Dana Rodriguez, and you're listening to us on 91.7 FM. That is KALW, your local public radio station. And let's quickly repeat any questions that have not been answered. And Kira, we'll start with you.
I've given you some short descriptions of food items that are named for people, and I want the name of the item. The ones we have left are a cocktail invented in the 1960s by Walter Chell, the bartender of Alberta's Calgary Inn, and named in honor of his own Italian ancestry. The second one is a coconut and pecan custard-filled chocolate cake named for an English-American chocolate factory worker. The third is a salad of diced vegetables and meat dressed in mayonnaise named for its inventor, the head chef of the Hermitage restaurant in Moscow. The fourth is a blend of ground beef and gravy named for the U.S. health food advocate who created it for his patients to eat three times a day in lieu of poisonous vegetables and starches.
All right.
And I've got some movie remakes where I give you the two actors who played corresponding roles in the original or the first movie and the second movie. You tell me the name of the movie. Pairs are Faye Dunaway and Renee Russo, Polly Bergen and Jessica Lange, Mia Farrow and Carrie Mulligan, Angela Lansbury and Meryl Streep. I see that you guys got all the male actor pairs and left all the female actor pairs.
Well, I can tell you that Polly Bergen and Jessica Lange were both in Cape Fear.
That is correct.
All right.
Oh, I see. You were refraining from sweeping the category out of your natural diffidence. All right.
Not really.
Okay.
Can I, Kira, before I get to mine, can I ask a question about the cocktail? I don't know that much about cocktails, but so it's an Italian name. Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
So it's named after, these are all named after famous people.
Well,
so
it's a famous, I suppose technically it's not an Italian name, but that's a whole other thing. Let's call it a Roman name.
Oh, okay.
Well, but it's named for his Italian ancestry with a Roman.
All right, how about Julius Caesar then? How about that?
That is the Caesar cocktail made of tomatoes and clam juice.
All right. If you hadn't said Roman, I wouldn't have gotten it.
I didn't realize there was such a cocktail. How interesting.
Huh. Yes.
All right. Okay, so let's see quickly here. What is the largest city in the U.S. with the shortest name? It has a population of 500,000. So we basically established that it has a name that has four letters or less. And what is the northernmost country in the world that is still completely in the southern hemisphere? And I gave you some high points in various countries. I want you to tell me the country. Ones we have left are Pico Bolivar, Mount Apo, Mount Stanley, Mount Catherine, and Grauschwitz. So tell me what those are.
I have no idea how large this place is, but is Rye, New York a possibility?
Well, I mean, it has three letters. So, I mean, that's a good guess, but no.
Okay.
All right. I'll give you a hint. Let's see. We're halfway through. I'll give you a hint. It's west of the Mississippi. Okay?
Sure.
All right. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hello, this is John in Bernal Heights.
Hi, John.
And I have one guess. Well, it's actually two guesses on the food. The salad is Olivier. I assume that's the way the Russian aristocrats would have pronounced it.
That is absolutely correct, and also very delicious. Salad Olivier.
Yeah, I've made it, but it's a lot of work. Yeah. And I'm going to make a wild guess on the concoction. Sloppy Joe was his name.
That is a fine guess, but alas, incorrect.
Alas, no. I have a question that I've been came to my mind a few weeks ago. We talked about some local authors, Ursula Le Guin. Now, both of her parents were Berkeley academics, and I wondered if anyone knows who they are. And I will mention that her father was the first person to receive a PhD in anthropology from Columbia University. This is still in the 19th century. And he was associated with a very famous person in California history life.
He was the person who adopted and wrote about Ishii.
Kroger,
I think?
So Josh gets the bell. Now, her mother then wrote a book about Ishii because her father refused to ever really speak much about it. It was made into two movies, made for television movies, and the first one would have been posthumous for the screenwriter, and I'll just mention, and Dana should know this one, he is famous for involvement with the Blacklist.
Is it Dalton Trumbo?
Yes, and his son Christopher, yeah.
Okay.
So
right.
I don't know, to how much he had to do with it, but he died, I think, in 1976, and the movie came out in 78, but it's very possible that they had done some work on it before then. And just a little personal note, Carl Kroeber, who was Ursula Le Guin's brother, I've listened to his lectures on romantic poetry, 19th century English romantic poetry at Columbia when I was a grad student. So a very literary family with a bit of a social conscience too. Her mother was a peace activist and so on in Berkeley. I'll sign off for this evening.
And I'll just add, doing personal reminiscences, that Ursula Le Guin's daughter, Elizabeth Le Guin, is a prominent musicologist and scholar of the cello.
Oh, I didn't realize that she...
She and I crossed paths briefly in the Berkeley Music Department.
There we go. So a lot of Berkeley connections for that family. Yeah.
Absolutely.
All right.
Yes.
Thank you very much.
Good evening to everyone.
Thanks.
Bye-bye. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is Lorraine in the Portola.
Hi, Lorraine.
Hey, on the food ones, on the German chocolate cake, is that the baker's chocolate?
Well, you actually just said the answer. At no point did I say what kind of chocolate cake it was. And as you called it, what was it?
You said it was coconut and German chocolate cake. The man's name was Sam German.
Baker's
chocolate company.
Yes, he was a factory worker. He was a chocolatier at a Baker's Chocolate, and his name was Sam German.
What? See,
wait a minute. You're telling
me. We didn't know that either, did we? Did we, Josh? I didn't know it was named after.
I always thought German chocolate cake came from Germany. Just like,
yeah, right.
Nope. It's an English American guy named Sam German. Nicely done.
Wow.
And then, as a chef, it's always fun to have all these tidbits. Anyway, for Dana's questions on the mountains, Mount Stanley, it's like in two countries, isn't it? Or Congo and Uganda?
Congo's fine. Right? It's the Democratic Republic of Congo. Yes, Henry Stanley.
Yeah. Right. And then Pico Bolivar is in Venezuela?
Very good. Yes, it is.
I say as a question.
Good.
I'm really cool. I thought the Russian salad, I thought that was, instead of olivier, it was going to be Russian salad, which is a different one, but that's really good stuff, too. Thank you very
olivier
much.
Olivier is delicious. So
cool. All right. Awesome. Thank you, Lorraine.
Thank you. You guys are awesome.
Now you're awesome.
Bye. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is Wesley.
Hi.
Hi. For the shortest name for a big city would be Reno, Nevada.
Ooh.
That's a terrific guess, but no, this is bigger. This city is bigger than Reno.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Tom in Southern California.
Hi, Tom.
Today. Hi. The ground beef and gravy... that chicken Kiev? No, that's Salisbury steak.
Named for Dr. James Salisbury. That is absolutely correct.
Oh.
The healthful blend of brown gravy and ground beef.
You didn't say onions, though. Don't they usually have onions in Salisbury steak?
Well, I don't know that they did initially because vegetables were poisonous to the human being.
Interesting. Okay.
Dr. James Salisbury.
All right, good job.
Okay, let's see. Angela Lansbury Meryl Streep is the Manchurian candidate.
Correct.
Faye Dunaway and Rene Russo is the Thomas Crown Affair.
Right.
Good.
And
is Mia Farrow, Carey Mulligan, did they make a remake of Rosemary's Baby, I feel like?
No, good guess, but not right.
Okay. More of the shortest names. Not Yuma, Arizona, is it?
It is not.
Ooh, what about Mesa, Arizona?
Mesa is correct.
Oh,
yes.
Mesa.
Sorry, I didn't mean to piggyback on your answer.
Mesa, Arizona is the largest city with the shortest name in the United States. Good job.
Okay.
Right.
And let's see. Mount Apo is in the Philippines.
Indeed in the Philippines, yes.
And Grauschbein, is that maybe like thinking a misdirect? Is that maybe like Namibia?
No.
No. Okay. Cool. And
I want to point out that's a really good guess.
Northernmost.
Because it used to be German Southwest Africa. That's right.
Right. Yeah. Northernmost country, is that maybe like Samoa?
It is not.
Far south. Okay. That's all I got, though I'll plug the Alfred Kroeber book, The Indians of California, or History, or Handbook of the Indians of California, which is a big tome, but it's really interesting, that he wrote, like, 1906. Very, very good book for anyone who's interested in California and Native Californian history. All right, thanks, bye.
Thank you. And you're listening to Minds Over Matter. We're here every Sunday at 5 p.m. If you'd like to give us a quick call, those numbers are area code 415-841-4134 or toll-free 866-798-8255. Okay, who has a short question?
Go ahead, Josh.
No.
Well, Josh is here less often, so I'll
let you. This is a quick one. I think we've done this with countries a lot, but I'm not sure we've ever done this with U.S. states. What are the three pairs of U.S. of bordering U.S. states that start with the same letter?
Iowa and Illinois.
That's one. That is one. I wrote it
Illinois
down.
And Indiana.
Yep.
That is two.
And then does Indiana touch Iowa anywhere? I actually don't know that.
No.
Do Maine and Massachusetts touch? No. Josh, do Maine and Massachusetts
touch? Oh, I'm sorry. No, I wasn't.
Okay. All right.
No. I thought you were asking Kira. Is kind of a joint brainstorm. No, okay. Maine and Massachusetts is not right.
All right.
C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, K. It's going to take me a second to go through the alphabet. Don't mind.
All right. We'll think about it. All right, just repeat it if you would, John.
All right, so we're looking for the three pairs of bordering U.S. states that start with the same letter.
New York, New Jersey.
There we go.
All right, there we go.
All right. That was quick. I told you it was a quick one.
Okay, that's good. All right, Kira, if you have a quick question, you go ahead, too.
Sure. What company operates two nationally accredited forensic lab facilities, the first of which was opened in a Minneapolis suburb? So what company, a retailer, I'll even say, operates two nationally accredited forensic lab facilities, the first of which was opened in a Minneapolis suburb?
So this is you're looking for the name of the company, not the name of the lab, or is it the same name?
They're the same.
Gosh, I don't know. I have no idea. Josh?
No, I don't know. Is it 3M?
That is a fantastic guess based on what's there in the question so far, but it is not 3M.
Okay.
All right. Okay. Figure it out. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, San Francisco Hayes. How are you guys doing?
Good, thank you.
Hello, Hayes.
I have not been able to get to the show because of the time change, and I contacted KLW Business Division, and I said I would cancel my donation if they didn't put it back. And they said they would try and get by without my 2 shillings and sixpence a year. So that didn't work.
How's that for Northern public relations, huh?
Yeah. I tried.
2 shillings and sixpence, Hayes? Is that what you just said? Have you heard about decimalization yet?
The decimal change didn't work on my bank account. So.
Okay.
The northernmost country, is that Peru by any chance?
It is Peru. Very good. Wow. Well
done. I
figured
it would have to be South America, and I used up the other one.
Right.
Okay. I've got a quick question, and you guys probably know this. Any idea what phloem, P-H-L-O-E-M, phloem bundles are? Bundles, B-U-N-D-L-E-S.
Could you spell the first one again for me?
It's P-H-L-O-E-M, M as in Michael.
Phloem is one of the things that it pairs with xylem, and one of them goes up and one of them goes down a flower or a plant's stem. I remember this from ninth grade biology.
Wow, you're on the track. You're on the track.
So is it... Are they packets of nutrients coming up from the soil and into the flower or the tree? Is that what it is? Or
you're so close. But the reason that I found this out is because it had been bothering me for years. They're the stringy bits on a banana when you peel it. You know those things that some people don't want and they peel them off?
Yeah.
People eat the banana. They're called phloem bundles. And I was like, that's what the damn things are called.
I was told there would be no banana questions.
Yes,
today.
I know. I was just going to say.
I know. You know, that's funny because I heard the beginning of the show and I thought, I'm going to get this one in. I'm going to get it
in. Hold on. Yeah, all right.
Okie doke. All right. Thanks, well, Hayes. Thanks. I'm going to try and get to the 5 o'clock show again, and I might carry on paying to listen. See you guys.
Well, good. Thanks. We appreciate
Thank you,
it.
Guys. Bye-bye. Bye. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, Zeed. How are you?
Good.
So I just have one question because of short of time, and also like to give the answer for last week. So this disease, virus disease, that decimated the planet for thousands of years, but yet it was totally eradicated, totally ended in 1977 because of vaccine. This question to this anti-vaccine, or the people, this moron that refused to take the vaccine. Vaccines are very important. In fact, the saddest thing so far until now, we don't have vaccine for AIDS, which killed in the United States alone 700 million people. Some big number, like 680,000 people and about 3 million worldwide. But which virus that was totally eradicated from Earth in 1977?
Smallpox.
Well, who initiated the vaccine for smallpox? That was in 1790. What's the name of the...
Edward Jenner.
Okay, that's really good. Everybody, please take this thing. This Delta virus is totally deadly and it's changing all the time. And the more people unvaccinated, the more petri dish we have for that virus to mutate and become more and more deadly. Okay, from last week, ask what is Fermi paradox means. Nobody came with the answer. How about you? Are you able to answer it very quickly?
Oh, Fermi's paradox, right. I remember you asked about that. Josh?
No.
Okay, I'll give you the answer very quick. Basically, Fermi was having lunch with a bunch of other physicists, and they were talking about flying saucer. And his answer to them was more like a question, where are they? Which means he did not believe in it. Okay, it's very simple. How about the twin paradox? Do you know anything about the twin? That's regarding the special theory.
Yeah, the twin paradox, I think, is from or connected with space travel.
Yeah, that, Einstein, special theory of relativity. Can you say it in like an
Yeah, the one twin goes into space and comes back and is either very much younger or very much older than her twin who has been living on Earth the entire time.
Very much younger.
I just you said it pretty much correctly. First, you have to go close to the speed of light. Let's say you go 99.999% of the speed of light, go to our nearest star, Alpha Centauri or Proxima Centauri, the planet. And then you come back, even you spend only one day there, you come back and you only age by maybe a few months or a few years, but your twin brother is 100 years older. This is what the twin paradox was. That is effective. Yeah. Thank you. Always a great show. I just want one advice. Please, everybody, don't spend too much time with multi questions. It takes a lot of time. You know, we enjoy it, but, you know, just limit it to 2 or 3 minutes. Please.
Well,
please,
we don't want to spend too much time on single topics.
Yeah,
that's for sure.
Okay. Yeah, including me. Right. Thank you.
Okay. All right. Yes. Physician, heal thyself. Okay. Let's see. All right. I have a quick question here. We'll see if you guys pick it up here. The highest point in Greece is Mount Olympus.
Yes.
But there's another country in which the highest point is also Mount Olympus.
Oh, I've heard.
What country is that?
Is there Armenia?
No, it's a good guess.
Good guess. No, that would be Mount Ararat, surely, right?
Right. So what is the other country besides Greece where the highest point is a different Mount Olympus?
Right. Oh, man, I heard this, but I can't remember.
It's in Europe. I'll tell you that.
Doesn't help.
All right. Think about it. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, is that me?
It is you.
Oh, goody. This is Ileana from Oakland.
Hi.
And I finally managed to get the 5 o'clock version to get myself home in time. Very excited. But I wanted to tell you that I think you're wrong about Mesa, because I think Reno has a higher population than Mesa.
So you think Reno has more than 500,000 people? I thought Reno was smaller than that. But anyway, I'll check. I'll definitely check.
Check, because I just looked it up, and it looked like Reno had like about 15,000 or 20,000 more than Mesa.
Okay,
but
I'll look it up.
That's
Thank
Google.
You.
We'll see. Anyway, happy to be show.
Well, thanks.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye-bye. And next call.
Hello.
Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Oh, hi. This is Ruthanne from Alameda. This is for the film question. Mia Farrow and Carey Mulligan both played Daisy Buchanan in The Great Gatsby.
That is correct.
Okay. Excellent.
Well done.
Thank you.
Well, thanks.
My hometown, Alameda. Good. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Is that me?
It is you.
Oh, okay. This is Nancy from Berkeley. And
hi, Nancy.
I'm ambivalent about the new time. But anyways, this is a question that maybe Joshua will know the answer to. What two composers, very famous composers, suffered from the same kind of disease, and it didn't work out well for either one of them?
Well, it depends what you mean by a disease.
Are we talking about syphilis?
I'm sorry, what?
Is it syphilis?
Is it syphilis? Because there are several composers that suffered
syphilis. Syphilis is a very popular one.
Yeah.
Is that what you have in mind?
No.
Handel and Delius both went blind in later life.
That's not really a disease. Handel is right, but I don't know about the other one, but there's Handel and somebody else. They both had surgery.
Are you talking about blindness? Handel's blindness?
But there's somebody else besides Handel, and they both had surgeries that didn't work out well.
Oh, gosh. No, I don't know who. I don't know any other blind composers besides the two I mentioned. So, who am I missing? Tell me.
Well, it wasn't necessarily, but it was Bach, and he didn't necessarily go blind, but the surgery didn't work out well.
Oh, that's too bad. I didn't know that. All right.
Oh, and I had I just lost it. I'm sorry. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Yeah.
And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Good evening. I like the new time. My name is Annie. I'm from Fairfax.
Hi, Fairfax. Annie.
Hi. And about Spencer Tracy and Steve Martin, they both played in the movies about bringing up Elizabeth Taylor and about the marriage of their daughter.
Right. Remember the name of the movie? What do you call the person whose daughter is about to get married? He is the
father of the bride.
There you go.
There you go.
I knew you had it in you.
Okay. Thank you.
Well done.
And I have a one for you guys. I think he was French-speaking gentleman who was on earlier might get this, but what is a bouic?
How do you spell it?
That'll give it away.
Oh. We'll say it again once more then.
Bouic. That's bouic. The French pronunciation.
Oh, a Buick, a car?
Right, right.
All right.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Okay, have a good night. Bye-bye.
Thank you. And next call? Nope. All right. You guys want to take a guess on this this question I asked earlier? The highest point in Greece is Mount Olympus.
I mean, is it somewhere in... Is it sort of Balkan and Southeastern Europe?
It's Southeastern Europe.
I mean, it's not Ireland, for example.
I just want to remind people, we have a couple of lines open right now, 415-841-4134, 415-841-4134, or toll free 866-798-8255. I'm sorry, Josh, go ahead.
No, that's all right. I'm just trying to guess. Is it in the sort of southeastern part of Europe, in the Balkans,
roughly, Caucasus, or whatever those are?
How about no, that's not good. How about Kosovo?
No.
All right. I'm just picking random southeastern countries.
Okay. All right, let's go to a call then. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is Nancy again. I'm sorry, I finally remembered what it was I was going to tell you. I believe on a couple shows ago, somebody on the program, I don't know if it was Dana or someone, said that Minds Over Matter, they thought, was the only quiz show in the country, but that's not true.
Oh, no, I would never have said that, because it's not.
Because Says You is a quiz show.
Yeah, no, there are plenty of quiz shows.
Okay, well, I just wanted to say, because I was surprised when they said that. So, okay, bye.
Bye-bye.
I mean,
no, I can't make that claim. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, is this me?
It is you.
This is Lisa in Kensington. Have all of Joshua's movies been guessed correctly?
Yeah, but we could revisit some of them.
Well, okay, can I give an honorable mention to Sweeney Todd because of Meryl Streep and Angela Lansbury? It's not a movie, I don't think.
Oh, that's an interesting point, isn't it? Yeah.
Okay. I also have an honorable mention for Reno, which is known as the biggest little city in the world. So I thought whoever guessed Reno had their heart in the right place.
I did look that up, and I want to point out that Reno, if you count the metropolitan area, is several tens of thousands bigger. However, the actual city of Reno is only, I think it said, like, it was lower. It was like half the size of Mesa.
Yeah.
So that was the issue.
Okay. All right. That's all I've got. Thank you.
Before you go, can we go back a second? Are you? I never watched the film of Sweeney Todd because I'm allergic to Tim Burton. Are you telling me Meryl Streep was in it?
Unfortunately, I have the same allergy as you. It's a rare condition, but those of us who suffer from it, you know, do suffer. But so I didn't actually watch the movie, but my memory, junkyard memory, tells me that it was Meryl Streep who played Mrs. Lovett, but maybe somebody
because
can
what I'm thinking is because I'm wondering whether got wires crossed. Meryl Streep played the witch in the film version.
You're right.
Which is very good, and which I did see, even though it also has Johnny Depp.
I'm sorry, we have to wrap up, Josh.
Oh, okay, sorry.
Okay, thank you.
I'm here all night dishing on Tim Burton.
And Kira, we got to clean up. What do you got?
All right, so Josh is on the right track, but he didn't pick the Minneapolis retailer, the discount retailer from Minneapolis or Minneapolis area, Target. Target operates crime labs and have done a ton of pro bono work for law enforcement agencies, as a matter of fact. Solve some murders, right. Help to solve. And that's all I had.
All right, Josh?
I got nothing. They cleaned me right out.
Okay. So the highest point in the various countries, the ones nobody got, Mount Catherine. I'm surprised he didn't get this. That's the highest point in Egypt.
What?
Grauspitz. Yes, Grauspitz is the highest point in Liechtenstein. The highest point in Greece is Mount Olympus, but there is another Mount Olympus. It's the highest point in another country, and that would be Cyprus.
Oh.
So if we didn't get your call, I do apologize. My thanks to Kira Pace, technical editor Joshua Cosman from the San Francisco Chronicle. I've been your moderator, Dana Rodriguez. My thanks to Damian D. Miner for handling the board and phones. And above all, our thanks to you for taking the time to tune in and call. And have a great week, everybody. And we do hope you will find time to join us next Sunday at 5 p.m. Thanks.